Jehanila Prematanda Karuna Prachur Jehanila Prematanda Karuna Prachur Heinu Prabhu Kota Kela Acharya Thakur Heinu Prabhu Kota Kela Acharya Thakur Kahamora Swarup Rupa Kaha sanatan, kaha mora sarup rupa, kaha sanatan, kaha dasa raghunatha patita pavan, kaha dasa raghunatha patita pavan. Kaha mora bata yuga kaha kaviraj kaha mora bata yuga kaha kaviraj eka kale kota gela gora natara Eka kale kota gela gora natara Pashane kutibo mata anale pashibo Pashane kutibo mata Anale Pashibo Goranga Gune Ranini Kota Gele Pabo Goranga Gune Ranini Kota Gele Pabo Sesava Sangir Sangi Ye koilo vilas, se sabat sangir sange, ye koilo vilas, se sangana paya kande, narotamodas, se sangana paya kande, Narottamodas Jayanilo Premadanna Karuna Prachur Jayanilo Premadanna Karuna Prachur So we'll read the translation. Got to make that a little smaller and move to the side so you can all see. Oops. So the translation of this is as follows. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta and where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Om Ganatu Miranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my divine spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur, who is a member of the Panchatattva, and we'll speak about him in a second. But first, I want to talk about disappearance days in general. When we're talking about Vaishnavas or devotees, we don't like to use the word, we don't use the word death. The reason for that is that a Vaishnava, first of all, he leaves his body. Yes, that's a fact. But a Vaishnava never dies in any real sense. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, he's not identifying with this gross material body like the rest of us. He identifies himself as the eternal servant of Krishna. So he doesn't experience death in the same way as an ordinary person does. Srila Prabhupada explained that when a regular person leaves the body or dies, it's like a cat coming after a rat. That's interesting. And when a Vaishnava devotee leaves the body, it's like a cat coming after his little kitten. And he picks up the kitten with his mouth by the scruff of the neck. I'm sure some of you have had cats before. I see one devotee there I know who had a cat. Anyway, so it's this similar process, but a completely different experience. So devotee, he goes on serving Krishna life after life. There's no death, really. He's just simply leaving the body, taking another body to serve Krishna, or going back to the spiritual world to take a spiritual body. One of the two things occurs. So that's one reason. Another reason is, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Acharya, said, he reasons ill who says that devotees, that's Vaishnavas, die when thou art living still and sound and living try to spread the holy name around. So anyway, so the point is that we can actually associate with these great personalities by remembering them and also by following their particular directions. So Srivas Thakur is one of these great personalities. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is one of these great personalities, and the great pure devotees in our disciplic succession are great personalities. So I can say, for example, in my case, that I can associate with Prabhupada. Even though physically, externally, he has left this planet, still I can associate with him by serving him, remembering him, hearing from him, reading his books, etc., etc. Because Vaishnava don't die. So therefore, we have this expression, the disappearance day. In other words, when they disappear from our vision. But they don't disappear from us, just from the vision. Got it? Okay, so Srivas Thakur disappeared on this day, and you may question, then why do you lament, as this song goes, when the Vaishnava leaves? Because you are missing that particular external association. Srila Prabhupada commented in the fourth canto, part four, the Paranjana story, that when the spiritual master leaves the planet, the devotees should be crying. And the sincere devotees, they will take the mission of the spiritual masters, their life and soul, to be able to continue their lives with purpose. So when Prabhupada left, this is actually what occurred with many of us. We cried and then we became more dedicated to serving Srila Prabhupada and dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission. So, in other words, there's this lamentation because there is a certain aspect to these great personalities, and that aspect is called the Vapu. Vapu means their physical presence, because when the spiritual master or when a devotee is physically present, there are certain types of interactions you can have with them that you can't have when they're not physically present. I mean, that's just obvious. And that service or the interactions you have with them is called Vapu Seva, Vapu service. But more important is the Vani Seva. Vani Seva means the Seva or the service of instructions and remembrance, etc., like that, and carrying out the mission. So we are bereft of the association right now, the external association of Srila Prabhupada and, of course, of Sri Vas Thakur and many other great devotees, but we can remember them and associate with them. And when we go back to the spiritual world or we go on to our next incarnation, we can associate with them again in the physical presence and serve them again. So that's why Janme Janme Prabhu say we should aspire to serve Krishna and his devotees life after life. So this is the explanation of disappearance and what we should do about disappearance. And in another sense, a disappearance commemoration is a celebration. Not a celebration that we're often happy to have, but a celebration for the person. Because the person is going back to Godhead or continuing with their mission. For example, when we would see Srila Prabhupada off, as he was flying somewhere to go preach somewhere. It was heartbreaking, of course, but it's also a celebration that Prabhupada was going somewhere to give others his association. And so when the pure devotee leaves, he's just going somewhere else to serve Krishna. That's, in one sense, a celebration. So we do celebrate both the disappearance and appearance days of great personalities. Now, specifically, Sri Vas Thakur. And Sri Vas Thakur is actually very important for us. Now you may say, why is he very important for us? And I will explain Sri Vas Thakur's ontological position first, and then I'll explain some of his pastimes. So what is his ontological position? That's a big word, ontological position. It means his nature. You know, it's a big word that sometimes professors use and intellectuals use to impress people, ontological. What is his nature? What is his constitution? Who he is, in essence. Okay. So to explain that, we have to go to the explanation of the Pancha Tattva. Okay. Pancha, in Sanskrit, guess what? Means five. Tattva means like something that is, or a category, or eternal category. So in this case, it refers to an eternal category of entities. Entities, that means living entities. Okay. So there's different categories of living entities. And the first, or the primary category of living entities, is the category of God. And that position is already taken, whether you like it or not. So that's Krishna and his various expansions, such as Krishna, Balaram, Lord Vishnu, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, I mean, unlimited expansions. It's described that there are many expansions and avatars, the word avatar means to come down to this world, of Krishna as there are waves in the ocean, in other words, unlimited. So that's one category. And another category of entity is the energy of Krishna, the energies or internal energy of Krishna from which all the other energies expand. Because the energies of Krishna, beginning with the Adi Shakti, Shakti means energy, beginning with the Adi Shakti, they're all expansions of each other, and the Adi Shakti is Srimati Radharani, who is also known as the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency, because Krishna's energies are meant to give him pleasure. And then there's another category that we're going to refer to today, And that is the jiva soul, or called jiva tattva. So the shak tattva, we said there's, means something that is, something that's eternal. It's a category of living entity in this particular context. Okay, and it can mean certain other things in other contexts. So the jiva tattva means like you and me and all these people around here, all the animals, all the trees, all the birds, and all the creatures that we see. They're all jiva tattvas. That means individual souls that are part and parcel of Krishna. So you've got these three categories. The what's called a Vishnu tattva, which means God and his expansions. Then you have the Shakti tattva, which means God's energies that always are serving him. And then you have the Jiva tattva, which is the third category, which is, once it's an expansion or part and parcel of God, but the Jiva tattva has the ability to have, to choose to serve God or not to serve God. So we're in this enviable position. I mean, I don't mind being in this position. I want to have free will. We're in this enviable position where we can choose. They say God or mammon, that's what the Bible says, or we can choose the light or the darkness. Or we can choose one side of the force, the dark side of the force. Or we can, oh, sorry about these Star Wars references, or we can be a Jedi Knight. Or we can choose the dark side of the force and be like Darth Vader before he got reformed. So that's our choice. That's the Jiva soul. Dark side or light side of the force. And, you know, sometimes these forces are struggling for balance, which is another issue. So let's, these three categories, how do they apply to what I said is the Panchatattva? Because I just said five. Okay. So there are five personalities that appeared over 500 years ago. And these five personalities, one of whom is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared to start the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the Lord's holy names in this Kali Yuga. And they manifested in order to present what's called the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma means the process for self-realization in this age. In other ages, there were different processes. Satya Yuga, there's the process of meditation. In Treta Yuga, it was opulent sacrifices with tons of gold. Wouldn't mind that. And then Dwarpa Yuga is big, big temple worship. And in Kali Yuga, it is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, just chanting Krishna's name, because everybody in Kali Yuga is pretty bad off. Kalo Doshanate Rajan Ashyeko Mahadguna, which means, O King, Kali Yuga is an ocean of difficulty, but there is one good quality, Kirtanad Eva Krishnasha Mukta Sangha Paramvajat. And that quality is that simply by chanting Krishna's names, one can get liberated. Pretty simple. So, these five personalities appeared in West Bengal, India. And so, we're going to describe who they were. Of course, three of the personalities are of the Vishnu Tattva category, the God category. One is Lord Chaitanya, who is non-different from Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who is in the mood of his dearmost Srimati Radharani, so therefore he is light-skinned. He is called Gauranga, which means golden. Of course, Radharani is called Gaurangi. And then you have Lord Nityananda, who is the same as Balaram, expansion of Krishna. The original guru, Nityananda is the original guru. And then after that, you have a Dvaitacharya, who is a further expansion of the Lord, but they're all the same, Advaita, Chuta, Nadi, Rananda, Rupam, Ajam, Purana, Purusham, Naviyovanam, Cha. So you have the three of them who are in the same category. It's called Vishnu Tattva category. Then, after that, you have Shakti Tattva, you have Radharani, who appears as part of this Panchatattva as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya and who was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then finally, you have Srivas Thakur, whose disappearance day it is today, or we're commemorating or celebrating his disappearance day, who is of the Jiva Tattva category, the same category as you and I, Jiva Tattva. And he is a very interesting person because he is not only a Jiva Tattva in the Jiva Tattva category, but he is actually Narada Muni. Now, for those of you who don't know who Narada Muni is, he is a, as Prabhupada said, a transcendental spaceman. What does that mean? Does he go up in the space shuttle? There's no space shuttle anymore. Does he work for Elon Musk? No. What he does is he travels everywhere helping people become Krishna conscious. And he doesn't need a spaceship. He doesn't need an airplane. He travels from one planet to another, one universe to another, because he has a spiritual body and he is accompanied by his stringed instrument, which is known as a veena, and his favorite song is Radhika Ramana Namane, which is the same as Hare Krishna. So he travels to different places and he really deals with really sometimes low-class people, and some of you may be familiar with the story of Mabrari, how he stopped a hunter from half-killing animals, preached to the hunter, gave the hunter, Mabrari's the hunter's name, gave the hunter a vision of his future, which was pretty bad, because if you kill animals, that's what's going to happen to you. And then the hunter surrendered, and he turned the hunter into a pure devotee. Wow. So that's Narada Muni. So Narada Muni appears as a member of the Panchatattva, these five people, representing the Jiva soul, representing us. And his pastimes with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are quite interesting. Now that we've talked about his ontological position, we're going to talk about some of the things that he did in relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was far older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he and his wife had more or less like a paternal relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a while. And that eventually morphed into something different when he realized who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Of course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was known as Nimai when he was young, before he took initiation, he did not exhibit his devotional qualities. And the reason he didn't exhibit his devotional qualities before he took initiation was because he wanted to show us the importance of connecting with a spiritual master. And therefore, even Srivas Thakur, at one point, or several times, had to chastise Nimai, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for not being a devotee. Srivas Thakur's wife, who's known as Malini, always acted very motherly towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nimai and actually took care of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya's mother, when she was pregnant with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and some things I did leave out that Srivas Thakur was not living initially in a place called Navadweep, where Lord Chaitanya was, but he lived in Srihat, and he left Srihat to live in Navadweep, and he had a house right next to where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadweep, Mayapur. But then after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he could never go back to Navadweep again because it was too painful for him to be in Navadweep and remember of all of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Now, he had some brothers too. Srivas had some brothers. His one brother was named Sri Ram, who was Parvata Muni, which is Narada Muni's eternal associate. And the other one was Sripati, Sri Nidhi, and as we mentioned before, his wife was named Malini, who in Krishna's pastime was Ambika, or Krishna's nurse in Krishna's pastimes, there were thousands of years before. Srivasa Thakur's niece was named Narayani, and Narayani eventually became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was one of the primary biographers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, getting back to the story, that Srivasa Thakur would sometimes chastise Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he didn't show his devotional mood before he took initiation. And he just was really upset because Lord Chaitanya was very erudite. In fact, he was expert in logic and what we call nyaya. Nyaya is a branch of the Vedic studies, meaning logic and argumentation. And Lord Chaitanya was so expert in logic and argumentation that he would sometimes go up to devotees and challenge them to debates. And basically, not that he presented anything atheist, but he would just like be engaged in word jugglery. Like we would say about in ancient Greece, they were the sophists who engaged in something called sophistry. In other words, just word jugglery for the sake of juggling words, just confusing people. And so Srivasa Thakur, one time, when he was speaking to Lord Chaitanya before Lord Chaitanya exhibited his devotional qualifications, said to Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai at that point, "O crest jewel of the arrogant, do you know the purpose of life?" You know, he just chastised him because he was just acting as a pastime. He was just acting as someone who was like puffed up. Puffed up, of course, if you don't know what that means. Proud of his erudition. And Lord Chaitanya would reply, "By your mercy, later on, I will become Krishna conscious." And then Lord Chaitanya said things that really got Srivasa Thakur upset. He said, "Not only will I become Krishna conscious, but I will become such a great devotee that all the other great devotees like Brahma and Shiva will worship me." Now, that is a statement that if it was made by an ordinary person would be pretty offensive. You know, imagine if anybody you know, any of the devotees you know would say, you know, "I might not be great now, but I'm going to be so great in the future that even Prabhupada will worship me." Wow, that's pretty offensive. So that's the same thing as saying Lord Brahma and Shiva and the demigods will worship me. Pretty offensive. We'd probably kick him out of the Hare Krishna movement if he said something like that. So they thought, oh my God, this is too much. But then Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai, did take initiation from Ishwarapuri. He went to Gaya, and there he took initiation. And he came back showing who he was, not only showing that he was a great devotee, because I mentioned Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of his greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, but he manifested himself as God. And one of the ways he manifested himself as God so that everyone would recognize him is that he showed four arms. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, if I could show four arms, that would be cool. Wouldn't necessarily mean I'm God, because there are entities with four arms. Actually, sometimes in my house, I have entities with 1,000 arms in my house, and they're not God. They're called millipedes, or entities with 100 arms called centipedes. So he manifested himself with four arms, showing himself to be God before Srivasa Thakur when he came back after being initiated. And he said to Srivasa Thakur, "Look, I'm the person you've been worshiping all along." And he basically sat on the altar, which is another thing. Let me turn off this phone because people do have a habit of trying to text me during all hours of day and night. So, and then here's the prayer. Actually, I wrote down the prayer that that Srivasa Thakur offered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he recognized that Lord Chaitanya was actually God. He said, quote, My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishwambar, whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud, whose garments are the color of a thunderbolt. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments of peacock feathers and a garland of red beads. That's Gunjamala, which actually represents Krishna. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the pupil of Gangadas, because Gangadas was Lord Chaitanya's teacher, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisance is at your lotus feet, you who carry a buffalo horn, stick and flute. That's Krishna, of course. The four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. That's from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Today, my birth, my activities, my everything has become successful. Today, my very existence has been crowned with the greatest auspiciousness. Today, the race of my forefathers has finally borne fruit in my house, which is also their house, has become blessed. Today, the great fortune of my eyes is completely beyond calculation, because I have been able to see that person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So this is his prayer upon realizing that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was this non-different from Krishna, was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So he submitted himself, even though he was far older. And this is also another interesting point, that Vedic culture, well, let us say Indian culture rather than Vedic culture, tends to be a little hierarchical. When you have an older person, the older person is supposed to be shown respect by the younger person. I'll give you another funny story that occurred in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, that Advaitacharya, who was older even, and Advaitacharya is an incarnation of Krishna in the form of Mahavishnu, but anyway, Advaitacharya, who was far older even than Srivast Thakur, and basically who Lord Chaitanya respected very much, was upset because he understood that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, so he wanted Lord Chaitanya to actually violate the ordinary etiquette, at least the external etiquette, and chastise him. So Advaitacharya one time started preaching a bogus philosophy, Yoga Vashishta. And Lord Chaitanya got so angry with him that, you know, there was some altercation there. And Advaitacharya was extremely ecstatic that he was being chastised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you see, sometimes ordinary etiquette, even in a, let's say, a culture like they have in India, has to be transcended for higher principles. I mean, I'll give you an example. Sometimes, you know, there's this etiquette, you have to follow what your mother and father say. But for a higher principle, for serving Krishna, you can transcend that particular etiquette. You know, one has to understand there are priorities in rules and regulations of etiquette or morality and things like this, transcendental principles. Of course, don't be too transcendental. You're here on this earth planet. So therefore, after this time with Srivast Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered that Srivast Thakur should have a kirtan, you know, chanting in his house every day and night. And some of these kirtans went on for 72 hours. There was one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya known as Vrakeshwara Pandit, who worshipped the deities Radhakanta. And Vrakeshwara Pandit could dance for 72 hours at a stretch. I mean, dancing is actually part of our culture. That's why when we chant the holy names, we are meant to dance in ecstasy. Just like recently in our programs here at the temple, Champakalata is so great, so gracefully dancing every morning during the program. So this is for the deity's pleasure. Actually, we dance for Krishna's pleasure, not for our own pleasure. Not, of course, we don't do the twist or anything like that. or who knows what other types of dancing there is. But we dance for Krishna's pleasure. And there's different dance. Actually, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, and even today, in Jagannath Puri, they have these ladies, very nice ladies, pure devotee ladies, who dance before the deities. They call the Devi Dasis. And they, Krishna enjoys it very much. And usually they do this, they're dancing in private. And so they consider themselves to belong to Krishna. It's like a sign of, this dancing is like a sign of Atmanivedanam, which means surrender, you know, surrender. I surrender to you, Krishna, because they're doing it for Krishna's pleasure, not for the pleasure of some mundane person. So it's very, very important. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had dancing, ecstatic dancing, and ecstatic chanting, and ecstatic recitation of Krishna's pastimes, and ecstatic plays. They even had plays in Srivas Thakur's house. It's called Srivas Angam, which is basically right next to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place. And so every day and night they would do this, and they would be in ecstasy. But they wouldn't let anyone in who did not have the adhikar. What do you mean by adhikar? Who was not qualified. Just like people, well, maybe I shouldn't use this example, but just like sometimes if people go on to go to a bar, they want to check your ID to make sure you're old enough to enter into the bar. So what is the what qualification did they have? They weren't intoxicated, except intoxicated in love of God. But their qualification was they had to be above the anarthas, or let's say contamination of this world. People wanted to go in. Because if people were not above the contamination of this world, they would take everything cheaply. They would take it as an imitation. I'll give you an example. One time, there was a person chanting a mantra about a snake dance, and it was about Krishna and Kali and everything like that. And so when Haridas Thakur, another great devotee in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, heard this, he started dancing in ecstasy, rolling on the ground. And the person who was chanting just respected him very much. And then someone who was envious, who was watching the whole thing, thought, I want to get respect too. So he started rolling on the ground, and the person who was chanting just kicked him. And then he asked, why did you kick me, and why didn't you kick Haridas Thakur? And he said, because you were imitating. So ecstatic dancing, or dancing for Krishna, has to be done with the right mood. Not just that, you know, you're enjoying moving because it's an exercise. You know, it's like, I go swimming, I enjoy it, but it's not that, you know, it's exercise to keep the body and soul together. So anyway, so that's the mood. So that's why Lord Chaitanya would not let anybody into Srivasangam, Srivas Thakur's place, unless they were qualified. I mean, sometimes people snuck in. One time, even Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law snuck in. And Lord Chaitanya sensed the presence of someone who wasn't qualified, someone who had impure consciousness. Because impure consciousness affects the ether. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sensed it, and he says, I'm not experiencing ecstasy. Something is blocking my ecstasy. Someone is here who doesn't belong. And so they looked all around. And behind the curtains was the mother-in-law. And he said, she doesn't belong. And they kicked out Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law. But there were other ladies in there who belonged and who were there. I mean, Sachimata was there. Even one of Srivas Thakur's, servants was there. Her name was Duki, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with her, he changed her name to Suki. So what does that mean? Duki, Suki. Duki means unhappy. Suki means happy. So he gave her the new name, Suki Devi Dasi. And even he gave Lord Chaitanya at Srivas Thakur's house, even gave little children mercy. There was a girl there, Narayani, who was we mentioned before. And she was meant to be the, later on, of course, she was only 4 years old at this point, but she was meant to be the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the commentator and biographer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he gave, Lord Chaitanya gave Narayani the remnants of his food, and he told Narayani, you know, just chant Hare Krishna and be in ecstasy. And she immediately, 4 years old, just started rolling on the ground in ecstasy and jumping up and down in ecstasy, just by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So you had children, men, women. Lord Chaitanya didn't discriminate according to the body, but Lord Chaitanya discriminated according to one's level of freedom from what we call anarthas. And this keeping people out sometimes caused a little bit of problems too, because some people got really resentful of this. There was one person, a Brahmin. Brahmin means like a priest, like I. And he was really resentful. He couldn't get in. And he thought, let me destroy the reputation of Srivas Thakur. And so outside of Srivas Thakur's house, a door, he put some things that basically framed Srivas Thakur, that made it seem like he was just worshiping in a low-class way. And Srivas Thakur didn't pay much attention to it, said, look, everybody, I'm worshiping in a low-class way, and he had everything brushed away. And later on, that person, because of his offense to Srivas Thakur, got leprosy. Of course, later on, that person was able to, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, approach Srivas Thakur, beg for forgiveness, and get cured of his leprosy. So one has to be very, very careful. So, but that's another instance of someone being prohibited from coming in. Another instance of, let's say, a problematic case was one time Srivas Thakur himself invited someone to come in. He was a Brahmin who lived just by drinking milk, and Srivas Thakur thought, well, he must be very pure, but Lord Chaitanya didn't agree with that. He said, one cannot be pure just by drinking milk. That's an illusion. And then later on, the Brahmin apologized to Lord Chaitanya, and he became a great devotee, and he was allowed in. So many, many pastimes occurred at this enclosed area in Srivas Thakur's house. An interesting pastime that did occur there was the pastime of Srivas Thakur's son passing away. So Srivas Thakur had one son. And what happened is that in the middle of the kirtan that was going on, his son passed away. And Srivas Thakur's wife and the other ladies started to cry. Srivas Thakur said, what are you crying about? And they describe, and he said, don't disturb the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya. He was so dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. I mean, it's not that he didn't care about his son. That's not the point, because the son had already passed away. There's nothing they could do about it. So lamentation was not really going to help. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivas Thakur, something happened here. Tell me what. And Srivas Thakur said, it was just very small. Someone passed away, my son. And Lord Chaitanya went to visit the son, where the son's body was, and he touched the son in the heart. And the son came back to life and said, many, many lives I've passed, but I died during the kirtan. So, you know, back to home, back to Godhead. I mean, what a perfect way to go. So that was amazing. And Srivas Thakur was so dear, so very dear to Lord Chaitanya, that anyone who had a relationship with him, I mean, this shows the importance of having a relationship with a great devotee. Because in this way, you get Krishna's mercy. It's like Prabhupada would say sometimes that if you love someone's dog, then the person, that's a way to approach someone. Or, let's forget about the dog right now. If you love someone's child, if you go up to the child and say, what a nice child you have. The parent will think you're the greatest thing on earth. But if you go up to the parent and say, what a nice parent you are, no, no, whatever. So that's the way to get to Krishna. It's a very simple way. We get to Krishna through his devotee. And so anybody who had a favorable relationship with Srivastava Thakur got pure Krishna consciousness. I mean, there's even one story about how Srivastava Thakur had a tailor, someone who made his clothes, who was very close to Srivastava Thakur. This tailor didn't follow the regulated principles, especially he ate meat, not a cow. Nobody at that time ate cows, except for the Muslims. But no Hindu ever ate cows at that time, because we understand what the cow is, mode of goodness. We were talking to someone the other day about cows and how the cows are so much in the mode of goodness that people pay money just to hug a cow, and they feel better after hugging a cow. Try that by hugging a cat and see if you feel, I mean, you may feel all right, but not like hugging a cow, because a cow exudes the mode of goodness. So there was this tailor who loved Srivastava Thakur, and he ate meat, and he got pure love of God. He was able to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form. Lord Chaitanya revealed to him everything because of the tailor's love for Srivastava Thakur. Things equal to the same thing. So that makes Krishna consciousness very easy. Now, I understand, like, if I love and serve Prabhupada, and I do. It's not an artificial thing. It's not just like a strategy. If I love and serve Prabhupada, then Krishna will be pleased with me. And if I approach Krishna directly, Krishna's going to say, who's this guy or entity? And in fact, Krishna himself says that in the Adi Purana. He says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. Very important point. And Lord Shiva says the same thing, basically in other words. He says the topmost type of worship, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, topmost type of worship is worship of Vishnu. But even more or higher than worshiping Vishnu is to worship Vishnu's devotee, Suryanam Samarchanam. So it's very simple. So that's why the tailor got pure love of God. And Lord Chaitanya also had many interesting interactions with Srivastava Thakur, intimate interactions. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivastava Thakur to test his devotion for Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda is Balaram, but Lord Nityananda is a very special, unique type of person called an Avaduta, who didn't always follow like the sort of path that you would expect great saints to follow. I mean, he didn't break the principles, that's not the point, but he was quite unusual. And so Lord Chaitanya said to Srivastava Thakur, who is this Avaduta that you're letting in your house? I mean, nobody knows where he comes from, you know, what his nature is. He sometimes acts crazy, you know, talking about Lord Nityananda. And what are you doing? And then Srivastava Thakur said, he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I will not be dissuaded in my devotion to Lord Nityananda, even if he enters a liquor store, or even if he marries a Muslim girl. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Srivastava Thakur, he embraced him. In fact, he and Lord Nityananda were so pleased with Srivastava Thakur, especially after Srivastava Thakur lost his son during the kirtan, that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda said that we will actually become your sons. And it literally happened like that. I mean, of course, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were much younger. Not Lord Nityananda, but actually Lord Chaitanya was much younger. And Lord Nityananda would even sometimes sit on the lap of Srivastava Thakur's wife. That's pretty, and he was really tall, you know, he's a tall person. And so these are wonderful pastimes in Srivastava Thakur's house. Another pastime that occurred with Lord Nityananda is that once upon a time, Srivastava Thakur's wife, Malini, was taking care of Lord Nityananda, and a crow came and stole the ghee pot that she had, and she was worried that her husband would be upset, that she would be upset. And Lord Nityananda said, "What's the problem?" And then Lord Nityananda said, "I'll take care of it." And he said to the crow, "Bring back the ghee pot, crow." And the crow brought back the ghee pot. So these are some of the stories of Srivast Thakur's devotion to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of Narada Muni. And so today we worship Srivast Thakur and beg for his mercy to enter into the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's many, many other stories of Srivast Thakur we can tell, but we want to take time right now for questions. And it's important to observe these particular days, these Vaishnava holidays. So let me take off your muting. 1 second, so you can ask some questions. Okay, so who wants to ask a question? Who is first?
I have a question.
Yes.
So, please accept my humble obeisances. Of course, you hear over and over again how Kali Yuga is the is in some ways the best because it's the easiest process available by chanting the holy names. But then at the same time, it says that actually that it's just as easy to do that in other yugas also, and that it's not that that's only possible in Kali Yuga. Mm-hmm. So what's actually distinguishing Kali Yuga from other ages when the holy names are always available?
That's actually true. So let me explain why. Because Kali Yuga, there's the other part of the verse is Kaler Doshan Hey Rajan. Nothing else works in Kali Yuga. And also it's, you know, what do you do when you're chased by a tiger? Does anyone know?
I
would chant. It's like I talked to someone today who had a horrendous car accident. I said, "Did you chant during this accident?" You know, he came out all right. I don't think he did, because I think he just went or something like that. So Kali Yuga, it forces us, the nature of the yuga forces us to take shelter of the holy name. Whereas in other yuga, you get diverted into all these other practices. Diverted, and then also you forget how miserable it is. I'm just like, you were in Hawaii, right? Doesn't look like Hawaii behind you. It looks like you're in the space shuttle, but I don't think you're in the space shuttle. So you're in Hawaii. So things are really nice there, isn't it? I mean, okay. Sweet. I mean, I used to be in Hawaii, too. I mean, I was a surfer, too, one day, many years ago, until I almost broke my neck, by your mercy. So anyway, so I was at, we went to this beach called Makapu, and it was really bad. I got driven into the ground. Anyway, it's another story. So when you find that everything is so easy, then there's not the impetus to take shelter of Krishna's names. And you got so many other religious practices that are bona fide. It's like a lot of diversions. So that's why. I mean, the holy names are always just as potent, but it actually pushes you to take shelter of the holy names here in Kali Yuga, because it's an ocean. The other part of the verse is Kaler Doshan and Hey Rajan. In this Kali Yuga, it is actually an ocean of difficulty, Kirtanadeva Krishna Sha Mukta Sangha Paramvajet. Simply by taking shelter of Krishna, then one can get liberated. Okay?
Thank you.
So, everybody go to Hawaii. Ride the wild surf. So, anyways. It is. I mean, Prabhupada said if there's any nice place in this world, or it's Hawaii, and Hawaii is like a remnant of the Satya Yuga that's still there. So when the virus is no longer extant, then we'll take everybody on a pilgrimage to Hawaii. Okay, or at least New Zealand, which is full of the material miseries. So it's very cold in New Zealand now. Shh, terrible. So, all right, who else has a question? About Srivastava, about anything. Tomorrow we'll continue with our Bhagavad Gita classes. So we have devotees from Fiji too. Sumukha's there. Sumukha, you should tell people about this class so the devotees can watch us in Fiji. You know, this has got plenty of devotees in Fiji. And they and all these devotees, they're saying, oh, Guru Maharaj, when are you going to visit me again? And then, but they should just like, I'm online every day, you know, Hare Krishna. So tell them, spread the word, tell your Fiji Wallas and Madhvacharya also.
Yes, we'll do Gurudev.
I see Madhvacharya. We got two from Fiji, Madhvacharya and you. And, you know, spread the word. Okay. Why not? Why not? I'm doing this for all of you, not for me. For me, I would just sit and swim all day long. Or I go to Hawaii and go surfing with Mayapur. It was up to me, but I'm online for the benefit of you, not for my benefit. Oh, so Ashraya Radha has a question. Okay, Ashraya Radha, unmute yourself. And...
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is Srivastava was Narad Muni, but Narad Muni was a brahmachari. And in this age, he came as a grihastha. So Maharaj, how can we understand the mood, Maharaj? Is there any particular understanding for that, or it's just Krishna's will? He came anybody came like that.
Okay, that's a very good question. I like that question. So, also, I'll refer you to another story. Krishna also has incarnations as brahmacharis. As Naranarayan Rishi, he's a brahmachari. And then as Krishna in Vrindavan, he gets married. So there's different pastimes. Devotees can have different pastimes simultaneously, just like you and I. I mean, for example, right now, I'm a sannyasi and in a male body, but in the spiritual world, I may be a cow, so what can I do about it? So for Krishna's pastimes, it's different. When he appears as Narada Muni, in the form of Narada Muni, he's a brahmachari. But when he appears in different pastimes of Krishna, he can be anything. Anything that Krishna wants. I mean, anything. So there's like Krishna. It's like Krishna. You know, Krishna as Narana and Narayan Rishi, he's a brahmachari. As Matsya, he's a fish. As Korma, he's a tortoise. So he can do anything in any of these incarnations. But in the Narada Muni manifestation, he's a brahmachari. There's this one funny story, which I'm not going to tell you about Narada Muni right now. But anyway, but he's a brahmachari. He's a brahmachari. So that's a good question. But, you know, there's different pastimes when the Lord asks us to appear in different ways. You know, we may appear, you know, let's say if Krishna wants me to appear as a cat in my next life, to be part of his cat incarnation manifestation. So I can be adopted by Gopal, who I think is still online. So anyways, so, you know, devotees can do whatever Krishna wants. But in this... You know, in my present appearance, of course, I'm not like Narada Muni. I'm not don't want to suggest that. My present appearance, I have this body and I have this ashram that I'm in right now. But, you know, who knows in the future? I can appear, and you can appear as anything to serve Krishna. nobody knows except for the pure devotees. Okay? Good question. That was a very good question. So I think that's probably all for this evening. So today is Narada Muni's appearance day. And tomorrow is Tuesday. Oh, Mother Tulsi. Oh, Mother Tulsi, the Mother Tulsi, says it seems significant that Shivas Thakur is married because most people should be married today. Not today, in this day and age. Most people, yes. It's a stable situation for most people. 99.99% of the people. And particularly in Kali Yuga, it is not recommended to take sannyas unless one can really do some amazing preaching work and go on Zoom every night. Then one could take sannyas. Anyway, I'm enjoying this preaching. It's just, this is life. Preaching is life. Well, I think Krishna Priya just raised her hand. You want to say something?
Chai Gurudev, please accept my... Yes, Gurudev, accept my obeisances. So we know that there's a certain renunciation that Shivas Thakur had in his household life. And on a practical level, what would you say is the most important lesson that devotees can imbibe from the life of Shivas Thakur that can guide them and encourage them in their spiritual life?
Okay, very good. Certainly we don't advise you to be as renounced as Shivas Thakur. But he showed us how to be dependent on Krishna. And I think there's a story that I forgot to tell. That Shivas Thakur, not that you imitate this story. This story, I have to preface it, don't imitate Shivas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Shivas Thakur, how do you maintain your family? And Shivas Thakur said, I have a 1-2-3 technique. If I don't get enough to eat for three days, I drown myself in the Ganges.
So that was the story I was thinking of.
Chaitanya said that even if the goddess of fortune goes begging, you will not be bereft of any sort of necessity. Don't try that at home. You got to work. But I think the main thing we can learn from Shivas Thakur to apply in our own lives is the kirtan. That we should daily be engaged in kirtan. I mean, some devotees have said to me recently during this coronavirus thing that they very much miss kirtans. And I said, what's the problem? There's so many kirtans on the internet now. I mean, I'm hearing so many kirtans. I mean, I have some really favorite people who I listen to the kirtans of. One is this Janavi Harrison in the UK. Beautiful. And another one is with this... I really like this group. It's called the Madhavas.
Isn't that beautiful? That's really beautiful.
They're beautiful, and their music videos are beautiful. I love their stuff. And then we have kirtans here at the temple, outside. Not inside, so everybody's breathing on each other and giving each other the virus. You know, of course, if you want to die because of kirtan, then that's a good way to leave the body. But we have kirtans. Why not? I mean, maybe you can't all be crowded in one little room like that, just shouting in each other's ears and breaking someone's eardrums and sending them to the audiologist. Like we have so many devotees who have tinnitus. They keep hearing kirtan. They've gone to kirtan. It's too loud. One thing Prabhupada said about kirtan, he said that the drums should never be louder, and cartels should never be louder than the singer. So I have been to so many kirtans where the drum is much louder. So don't do it if you want to please Prabhupada. Anyway, so that's it. Just have kirtans. That's Shrivas Thakur. He's the kirtan, one sense, the kirtan acharya. Okay, we got to end because we have Mangal Arti tomorrow morning, and Mangal Arti. We also have dancing by Her Grace Champakalata. Some of you have seen the videos I put up on my Facebook page. Please look at them. You'll like that. Her dancing during Mangalarti and during some of the programs in the morning. And Krishna is smiling all the time at her for doing that. Okay? Okay. See everybody later. All glorious to Prabhupada. Hasta la vista, senores y senoritas, y prabhus and prabhis, and matajis and prabhu pitajis.